Donny was up to his eyes in debt, and so one day he took money from a safe at work and he went to a casino and he gambled all that money, a massive amount, on one spin of the wheel. He put it all on black. It was red or black, those were the options, 50-50 chance. Put all the cash on black. If he was going to win, he would then put the money back in the safe and he'd still have an equal amount himself. If he loses, poverty, public disgrace, prison. And he figures it's worth the risk. He takes the gamble, it lands on black, he has the money, returns it to the safe, nobody ever discovers it, and he's a very happy bunny. Now he's financially solvent. He gambles. When I was a kid, one of my mates, his parents, his father had been a bookies runner in the days when there was no bookmaker shops on the corner of the streets. The only bookmakers were at the races and so on. So the runners were kind of illegal people who took your bets and so on. And then the shop started to open, and my friend, his mother and father, both worked in the bookmakers. So they knew all the regular gambles. They knew how much they lost. And most of them lost. Most of the gamblers lost. They would say sometimes, oh, he bets on a certain jockey all the time. He does. He's lost thousands this year, when £1,000 was a massive amount of money. Most people were big losers. Now, in our day, gambling's become, well, you can gamble online, can't you? Now, and there's the national lottery. In fact, there's lotteries. There's postcode lottery, all sorts of things, and big bingo halls where you can win loads of money and so on. Now, in our Bible passage, we have Rich Rupert and Lazarus. Rich Rupert places his bet. He bets his life on the fact that God's not there. And he loses. And he loses his soul. He loses everything. He gambles. Now, many centuries ago, was a brilliant thinker, Blaise Pascal. He's, I suppose, only remembered in school now for Pascal's triangle. Some of you may remember that. But he's remembered in the realm of philosophy mainly for one thing called Pascal's wager, where he says everybody who's ever lived on planet Earth gambles. Everybody bets. And he says they either gamble there is a God who can be known, or there's not a God. Everybody gambles. That was Pascal's wager. Now, he would admit, and so I certainly would, that for some people who gamble there is a God, it's not actually a gamble because they know he's there. But you don't have to know he's there to pin all your hopes in him. That's the thing. You can be very unsure and yet put all your trust in God being there. Anyway, here's Pascal's wager, that everybody gambles, and his famous wager is that you must gamble there is a God. You must. Because if you put everything you bet your life, there is a God, and you find out when you die there's not, you've lost nothing. That's his argument. The top gambler I read a few years ago, top gambler today, said that the secret of being a successful gambler is never bet anything you can't afford to lose. That was his motto. Here's Pascal saying a similar kind of thing 300 years ago. He said, so if you bet there's a God and there isn't, you've lost nothing. But if you bet against God, if you bet there is no God waiting and you're wrong, you lose everything. That's Pascal's wager. You follow the argument. In Luke 16, the story Jesus tells, Rich Rupert discovers the truth, but it's too late. Can't do anything about it now. Much too late. But he'd had ample opportunity in his life to find out, was God really there? You know, when Idrisk does those little slots for us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are absolutely amazing. You know, this week, my grandchildren had this little model of a person with all the organs there, and they took all the organs out, a little plastic model, and you have to put them back in the right place. I have no idea. I know most of them are around here, right? But I don't know where. But when you start to put them in, you realize, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Rich Rupert obviously had the opportunity to think about that. Yeah. Why am I so complex, so complicated? Or am I just a random collision of particles? You know, he had plenty of time to think about it. And he obviously gambled and gambled wrong. He bet his life on the fact there was no God. Am I just a result of a cosmic car crash, or did somebody create me? And Rich Rupert gambles wrong. John Humphreys, the Welsh fellow on Radio 4, sometimes, and on Mastermind, he famously argues that Dawkins is wrong to say there's no God because we can't know. John Humphreys has written a book, he's an agnostic. He says we can't know. And he says, I don't know. Nobody knows. But what I would say to Mr. Humphreys is, well, if you say you don't know at the moment, are you actively looking? Because it's important, isn't it? You could lose everything. So when you say, oh, well, I don't know, but the clock is ticking, are you looking? Time is not on our side, is it? We've got that dam in America and in California. 10 years ago, people noticed cracks in it. The authorities came and they said, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money. It'll be okay. They gambled. It'll be okay. But it's 100 foot high of water, and they've had to evacuate all the villages. Because they gamble it'll be okay, and it's not okay. It's dangerously, you know, cracked now, like they did with Aberfan 50 years ago. The coal board gambled, it'll be okay. There's a lot of rain coming. Yeah, but it'll be okay. They gambled. And they gambled with 116 lives, as it happened. Don't worry about it, they said. But that was my philosophy regarding God. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't want to think about it. More than 40 years ago, I was watching a program on TV, and they were talking about training for the army, and they interviewed this guy. He'd been a young private, and they were learning to abseil down a cliff about 60 foot high, and it came his turn, and he was at the top there, and they were putting the harness on, and he just said to the sergeant major, who was shouting for everybody to go down, I'm not sure this is safe, Sarge. I'm not sure this fit in. The sergeant major said, get on with it, soldier. And he got on with it, and he fell 60 feet. And now couldn't move anything below his shoulders. The sergeant major gambled with somebody else's life. Thing is, you gamble with your own life, though, with your own soul. Don't let anybody else, like the sergeant major in a spiritual sense, don't let anybody else bully you into making the wrong decision. Like I told you that story about the guy coming down the front in the camp and leaving his mates at the back. You know, he could have listened to them, couldn't he? He could have listened to them and they say, it's all a load of rubbish, what are you doing down there? He could have turned and gone all the way back and sat at the back and not listened, couldn't he? See, you have to place your bet. We all place our bets. And Jesus said, if you're not with him, you're against him. If you don't place your bet on him, then you are against him. Now, lots of people say, well, I don't bet at all. No, but you are betting. To not bet on Jesus is to bet against him. And you are free to do that. That's the thing. The Lord allows you the freedom of rejecting him, even though we have the evidence, the considerable evidence of the Bible. We have the testimony of countless Christians whose lives have been changed. I had an email this week asking, do we want, remember Manfred Mann years ago in the 60s, and Paul Jones, he's become a Christian, see? Do we want him to come and speak in Town Hill? I don't know if we do or not, but he's doing the tours now, singing, I guess, and giving his story of how we'd become a Christian. And there's the testimony of countless people who've been changed. And you're in Luke 16, we got the two men, different lives, very different lives, but they both die, and they both end up in eternity. One in eternal bliss, the other one in misery. Now, did Lazarus have to gamble, or did he know that God was really there? I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell me that. Thing is, think of this now. My wife has just done all the washing. She brings the pile of socks and things upstairs and she puts them away in the drawer. And the following morning, I'm looking for my blue socks. And I sound as if I'm choosing what color socks now. Just pretend I notice these things, right? So I open the drawer and I can only find one blue sock. And I say to my wife, oh, any idea where the other sock is? And she says, it's in the drawer. Do I have to be sure it's in the drawer to find it? I don't. I just have to listen to the eyewitness testimony of the person who put it there, don't I? I don't have to know. I could just think to myself, bet it's not in the drawer. But if I open the drawer, I find it. Do you see? We don't have to be sure. If you're sitting there saying, oh, I haven't got confidence that Jesus really is a Savior. No, you don't have to have confidence to trust him, though. See, like in the story, all you have to do is cry out. You don't have to be sure that he's there to hear you. Countless people down through the centuries have found that they know they're sinners. They don't feel bad. They don't feel their guilt. They're not weeping because of all the people they've hurt and how much they've upset God. They just see the facts. They know they're nowhere near perfect. And they have a hunch, if there is a heaven, they can't get in with the way they are. That's all they feel. They don't feel particularly bad. But they just realize they can't get into heaven if heaven is any kind of perfection at all. And so they cry out, and they find then that he's real. But the point is, they didn't know at the time. They didn't know. You know, you see the TV quizzes where they say, final answer. Because once the answer's locked into our computer, too late to change it. You know, me and that man, before I was a Christian, in an old Vauxhall Viva on the motorway, when he didn't have a gear stick, he used to put his finger in the hole and change gear like that. We were going flat out, which was about 55 in this clapped out Viva, but he was a Christian, and just asking, if we crash now, and we could have easily crashed in that thing, what happens if we crash and we both die? Simple question, isn't it? Simple question. Jesus says there's a great gulf, vast gulf between the two destinations. So it is, make up your mind for you to choose. I know some of you, it's not a gamble now because God has confirmed it. Praise God, I know. But not for everybody, for some of you, you're not sure. You're not sure. You'd like to think perhaps there's a God. You know, in I was reading John's Gospel this week. Philip has met Jesus. He tells Nathanael, we found the one Moses wrote about. Remember what Nathanael says? Who is it? Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, says Nathanael. Can anything good come out of there? Do you remember what Philip says? Come and see. Come and see. Now, Nathanael at that moment could have said, I'm betting there is no Christ, there is no Messiah, there is no Son of God. But he does go. He does go. There's no hint that he's confident, but he does go. And that's it, see. He goes to check it out, and he finds that Jesus really is who he says he is. And I'm sure that some of you now, you've got no confidence at all when you die. What'll happen? But you'd like to think there's a God, but you haven't bet on him. I watched a chap this week on the program. He's a former biology teacher, and he goes around all the rivers of the world. He's looking for these massive monster fish. And he said for 20 years he's been looking for this fish called a lau-lau. It's a massive, dangerous fish. And so this is what interested me. So he said, so I went to Guyana, and I gave myself a deadline. I'm going to look for this fish for 1 year. A deadline. 1 year. If I don't find it, forget it then, I'm not bothering with it again. And weeks go by, he's camping by the riverbank, he is in tears of despair sometimes, he's exhausted, tempted to give in, and then they show the photo, there's him and these three other guys holding this massive and dangerous catfish. The point is what? This was important. And he set himself a target, a deadline, I am going to look. And I'm going to look for 12 months. If I don't find it then, okay, but I'm going to give it my best shot. If he can put all that effort into looking for a catfish, can't you put all your effort into looking for Christ, a Savior? Rupert and Lazarus placed their bets. Can't do anything about it now, but you can. Where are you placing your bet today? God knows where you're placing your bet. It's not a matter of what you say. He knows. Amen. Yeah, Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out